this side, it's my best side.
I don't have a good side.
I want to preface our song by saying this. You got Preacher's Quartet minus two. One is tall, one is shorter. One is younger, one is older. One can sing, one can't. But despite all that, pray for Brother Glenn, he'll do a good job.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me.
Amen. Wow. I didn't know we sound that good together. Can I sing with you again?
Only if you'll let me sing with you.
Oh, man. Wow, it sounded better over here than it did over there. Yeah, okay. So how many of y'all think Brother Glenn lived up to his billing? In spite of all the deficiencies, you did good. And I appreciate that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be looking at verse 24 through 29. And we're finishing the Sermon on the Mount of our Lord, where He contrasts the true righteousness of His kingdom citizens with the false righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees and all who try to get to heaven by their works. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture in verses 13 through 29 when He makes several contrasts. Remember, Jesus contrasted the narrow gate and the narrow road and the broad gate and the broad way in verses 13 and 14. He contrasted true preachers with false preachers in verses 15 through 20. And He contrasts a false profession with a true profession in verse 21 through 23. And now He contrasts two ways to build a life. As we look at this parable, we're going to see that the house is the life that is built. The foundation is what the life is built upon. It could be built upon a rock, which is obedience to the teachings of Christ, or it can be built upon sand, which is your own self or mankind or human philosophy. The storm in our text is, of course, it will not stand the test of the storm of God's judgment, if you will, and the adversities that come in our life. Well, we know that. People who build their life on the sand, they cannot take adversity in their life. And that's where many of them just leave the church, because they are somehow falsely believing that if they come to be a Christian, they're not going to have any hardship in their life, right? And so it separates there. The life that stands the test of God's judgment is a life built on obedience to the teachings of Christ. So what I want to do today is do what Jesus did. He shared some similarities and some differences between these two ways to build a life. Now, you know that there's a difference in making a living and building a life. Amen?
Amen.
We got many people today that are making a living, and they have forgotten how to really build a life upon the teachings of Christ. Being a good provider for your family and sending them here and sending them there, giving them the best of this and the best of that, putting them in the best schools is not all there is. We need to build a life. Now, let's look, first of all, at the similarities as we read our text. Begin in chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth the sayings of mine and doeth them. See what I'm saying? Do. Obedience and doing the will of God. Obeying his commandments. He says, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, see, that separates a Christian from a non-Christian. One obeys, one doesn't. And he says, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man. In fact, that word there is a moron, which built his house upon the sand. Shallow, superficial, worldly. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Boy, I like that, Brother Glenn. That has been my one goal in my ministry, to speak with authority from the Word of God and with power. Amen?
Amen.
That's it. I have nothing to add, nothing to give. All I do is proclaim what God has already wrote, right? Father, I pray this morning as we look at this text that we'll examine our own lives. Are we on the rock or are we on the sand? Are we building our life based upon self and the world and the way they say do it? Or are we building our life upon the teachings of Christ? And I pray, Father, as this text will tell us, the end and destiny of these people is quite different. And Lord, I just pray you convict. I pray that you encourage. And Lord, if there's one here today that has not even given a thought to building a life, they're so busy trying to make a living, Lord, I pray you correct them today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. So we see these similarities and these differences in his life. I want to look, first of all, at the similarities, and there are three of them in our text about the man that builds on the rock and the man that builds, or the woman builds on the sand. Number one, both heard the gospel. You see in verse 24, notice that verse, therefore whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now go down to verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. So both heard the gospel. It's amazing how people could be sitting in church, side by side, one has the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon them, one walks out not changed, not even caring about it. And like you said in your Sunday school lesson this morning, you take people that are even in these fluffy churches, that they don't give them the word, they don't give them the deep substance and the hymns and things like that. And if you put them in the midst of our church this morning, they would think we were dead.
Yeah.
In reality, they are dead, right?
Right?
So they both heard the gospel, the way of salvation. Number two, there's a second similarity here. Both built a house. Both tried to build a life after they heard the way of salvation. One built it, did this on the teachings of Christ on a rock, and one built his life upon the sand, the shifting sand, and the teachings of the world. So wise man builds his life on obedience to the teachings of Christ. The foolish man builds his life with the false assurance of being a Christian and believes he will be pleasing to God and will stand the storm or the test. The life built on the rock has its confidence in Jesus, while the one who builds his life on sand has confidence in himself. He lives for the present and for self. You'll find that out, that people who build their lives on the rock are looking for the hereafter. The people that build their life on the sand are trying to be fulfilled now in the present, right, with the things of this world. Now, number three, similarity. Both houses looked alike outwardly. There's no indication in this text you saw any difference in the houses until the test came, right? Until the storm or the storms came. They looked alike, right? But they, as Brother Marcus is a builder and Brother Glenn is a builder and whoever else is in there a builder, sometimes you can't see the foundation, right? You can't see the, I need an amen there. Amen. Sometimes you can't see the foundation until it begins to have cracks in it, right? So they built their house, if you will. They both heard the gospel. They both built a house or thought they were building a life. And both looked alike outwardly. And they could not tell until the storms came. And you cannot, you're not going to tell until the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment for the unwicked. Now, let's look at the differences of these two builders. We're going to look at the foundation, the stability, and the destiny. Let's look at the foundation, first of all. One built on the obedience to the teachings of Christ, and the other is disobedience to the teachings of Christ. You see, if you don't know God through His Son, Jesus Christ, or you're a superficial, they use the word marginal Christian, I don't think there's no such thing, you're either a Christian or you're not, or you think you're going to build it, you come to church, you do different things, and you think you're going to go to heaven, and you're trying to build a house upon anything else but the teachings of Christ. See, you're not worried about obeying God, right? You're not worried about obeying the teachings of Christ. You're just going to go through this life journey and thinking you're a Christian, right? But it don't happen that way. On the rock, a rock is a large bedrock here. That's what the word means. It means sayings of mine. Two preachers speak of the narrow gate, the narrow way, and the teachings of Christ. And I was thinking, Brother Glenn, when you was teaching Sunday school about the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming, number one was to convict the world of sin. Guess what those that build their house on, the preachers that build their house on the sand say? Opposite of that. You know, just come in, you know, God's going to receive you as you are. You'll be okay, you know. Everybody's going to see the light one day, and we're all going to heaven. And that second aspect of John, where he says about the purpose of the Holy Spirit, was to teach them about true righteousness. You see, you're not going to hear holiness and repentance in these kind of churches, right? You're not going to see the preacher call the people to repentance and holiness and true righteousness. Again, it's the same philosophy. God's going to receive you as you are. You can remain as you are, and as long as you try, you're going to heaven. And you can be severely wrong. I hear this a lot in my ministry, Brother Glenn. They say, well, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong because they're building on the sand. And then another thing the Holy Spirit came to do was show us the consequences of our rejection of Jesus Christ. But what do you hear with them? Oh, it's okay. God understands your frailties and your shortcomings, and, you know, it's going to be okay. God didn't really mean sin. He didn't really mean repentance. He didn't really mean confession, forsaking, giving up all to follow Him. You know, nobody's perfect. You just do the best you can. And you hear that. Now, a rock, again, remember in Matthew 16:16, verse 18, Peter had a divine revelation. I mean, here's Peter. Now, you know the life of Peter. He's been going along in his life, foot and mouth disease, speaking up, getting, you know, impetuous, you know, doing things he shouldn't do, reacting before it got to his brain. And here's Peter, you know. And just out of the blue, Jesus says, who do men say that I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter, giving no indication, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Wow, right? And what did Jesus say? He says, my Father has revealed that to you, right? And me and Glenn has been talking about that a lot. Divine revelation is always through the Holy Spirit, right? If you came to Christ, it's because the Holy Spirit was drawing you, right? You didn't decide one day, well, I've had enough. I'm just going to join the church. Maybe things will be better for me. It doesn't work that way, right? At my uncle's funeral the other day, I hammered on his patriotism and his life and the heritage of a Christian family, and I looked up to all my uncles and aunts because they passed on to me the influence of their Christian lives. But I also hammered the fact he was a patriot, and the five brothers that served in the war, one son died in Vietnam, and others that served. And I brought home the fact that of the gospel, and I shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it amazes me, Brother Ray, because I go to a lot of funerals. I've done about 132 in my ministry myself. But it amazes me one thing about funerals. As Christians, I'm sitting out there waiting to hear the gospel, and they don't even share the gospel. Yeah. You know, I would get the impression, I had this bad habit when I go to a funeral or another service at another church, I try to pretend like I'm lost and see if I hear enough of the gospel to convict me. And I don't hear it. They don't share the gospel. But I'm telling you, when we had a service the other day, they will stand before God one day and can't say that they never heard the gospel because they heard it at Zion Grove Cemetery the other day. Right? So share the gospel. John MacArthur, by the way, building upon a rock here is not the Catholic Church. Peter wasn't the first pope. The rock means Petra. If you read the text closely, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, upon the confession of faith of Peter. That's how you go to heaven, by confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And that's how I'm going to build my church, right? John MacArthur in his commentary says this, the house built on the rock is the life that empties itself of self-righteousness and pride, that is overwhelmed by it, mourned over sin, and then makes the effort to enter the narrow gate and the narrow way of Christ and his word. Folks, if you come to sin, came to Christ with no realization of your own sinfulness and your own unworthiness, and you don't mourn over your own self-righteousness and you exalt your pride, and you're not mourning for sin, and you don't realize that you bring nothing to the cross but your sin, right? And you think you're doing God a favor by walking an aisle, you're going to burst hell wide open. Amen. When that time takes place. Right. Now let's look at the sand. See, there's two ways to build a life. You can build on the rock, or you can build on the sand. Sand, we speaks of being loose and unstable and movable. And I know that many of y'all have walked on the beach. Many of you walked on the beach more than others. And I'm not going to get in the water, right? I don't like the sea, the sand, the salt. I don't like the sharks, right? The other day I was staying with Kenley at home, and for about a couple of days, all day long we watched Shark Week. And I told Kenley, I said, how in the world can you sit here and watch people being eaten up over and over? So you think I'm going to get, even when they begin to show them that you don't need to be in deep water, they get you in shallow water, right? And you think I'm going to go out there and swim in their habitation and get eaten up, right? Understand that. It is man invading the animal's environment. That's why the problem comes in, right? You take the lion and the tiger trainers, and the world gets so aghast when the trainers attack. Well, guess what? He's a lion, right? And lions eat meat. So after watching Shark Week, I am about, in fact, I'm not even going to get into pavilions or even close to the sand. Because next thing you know, the way things are going in this world, sharks are going to be walking on the shore. You know, and coming after shark. Yeah, yeah. People who live in contrast. You ever notice people who always have drama in their life? Their family is nothing but drama all the time, right? They're building on sand and not on the rock. False preachers speak of the broad gate, the broad way, the teachings of man, human opinion, standards of man, speculations, fables, human philosophies, human religions, and man-made traditions. And the job of Brother Glenn and I and every Sunday school teacher in this church is to open the Bible and just tell you what God has said, right? I can't make my own outline. I can't improve. I just tell you what God has said in his word. It is a life built on self-will, built on the sand, self-sufficiency, easy believism, no desire for God's word, fact, you know, I could go to a church today, and Brother Glenn could go to a church today, or I could be go somewhere, or Brother Glenn could be called out to go try out a church, and you'll find out very easily if they're used to hearing the Word of God, right? Very quickly, right? Have we gotten that way in America where the church says if you've got a preacher that preaches the Word of God, it's the most boring thing in the world? Yeah. Right? Think about how sad that is. They will not endure sound doctrine in the last days, but heap for themselves teachers that tickle their ears. And I still agree with it. It is the false believers that make the false preacher. And then there's stability. It gives us the difference in stability. One will stand, the other will fail. How sad it is to go through your life thinking you're building on the rock and find out one day when you stand before God, you built your life on the sand. And disobedience to God's word. Notice what verse 23 says. The rain came, the floods came, the winds came. They represent the test of God's judgment. It is God's judgment that will separate these two lies that are built. We can know them by their fruits. But remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? They grow together and then God will separate them. You can't distinguish the difference between the wheat and the tares until the judgment. Remember the judgment of the sheep and goats? You see, we exercise church discipline and we do those kind of things, but truly, by their fruits you will know them. But many times, there's going to be people in heaven that we didn't think was going to be there. There's going to be people in hell, we won't know it, but there's going to be people in hell who thought they were going to heaven, right? Because they banked their eternal destiny on joining a particular church, you know, or walking an aisle. Do you know every Sunday that Satan walks an aisle? That's why people won't come forward. Satan's an owl, right? Like Miss Molly, blocking the way, right? Oh, that didn't sound good, did it? No, you're not Satan, Miss Molly, but he's as if he's on their shoulder saying, no, don't go today. No, you're okay. You know, you're okay. And I want to tell you, there's a difference in their stability. One stands the judgment, one doesn't. Then there's a difference in their destiny, verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Great was its fall. Why? Because they thought they were on the narrow road, and they were not. What is this storm and fall? Well, the context lets us know it's a life built on the rock will stand physical storms in life, to stand the test of God's judgment. But the storm intended here is God's final judgment. The person who refuses to repent of their sin and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will not only miss heaven, but they will hit hell. Everlasting torment in a real place called hell. Well, you're fuddy duddy. You need to get up with the times. The church needs to change. There is no place called hell. That's just something y'all have preached. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, I believe. Hell is real. And people who build their life upon the sand go there one day. I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He's dead now. He's with the Lord. But I've got all his commentaries, all his research books. Brother Ray has too, I think. Warren Wiersbe says this, two ways tell us to examine the cost of our profession. Two professions tell us to examine whether or not our life has changed. And two houses remind us of the life that will stand the test. So don't miss the point of this parable here. It not only teaches us the way of salvation, but carries us beyond salvation to the road that we're trying to travel on to get to heaven. Obedience is a true test of saving faith. Has and always will be. Look back to chapter 7, verse 21, if you will. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Are we talking about 100% obedience? No. Why? Because Jesus lived in 100% obedience to the law for us. Right? Don't worry about it if you disobey one commandment. Guess what? You still go to heaven if you're saved. Because we don't keep ourselves saved, right? Christ kept the law for us. It's by his faith, his life, that we go to heaven. And he has imputed to us his righteousness. And our sin was imputed to him. We go to heaven by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I stressed that the other day at the funeral. You don't go to heaven by being good. You don't go to heaven by being a good church member. You don't go to heaven because your relatives are Christians. You don't go to heaven because your daddy was a preacher. You go to heaven because you have confessed your sin. You have repented of your sin. And you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. And you have made a commitment to follow Christ, right? That's who goes to heaven. And sadly mistaken, there's going to be many one day because they entered at the narrow gate. I mean, entered at the wide gate. And they've been on the wide road, the broad road, with all their sin and everything else. And they're going to stand one day at the great white throne judgment. Believers will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And they're going to stand there and he's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. Not that I knew you and then lost you or you lost yourself. I never knew you," right? And to be cast into the lake of fire. But for us who are believers, we're going to hear what? "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord," or of heaven. Which one is it, heaven or Lord? Joy of the Lord, right? "Well done, thy good and faithful." You may feel like you're not up to snuff many times, but Jesus is going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So I leave you with this. In these unstable times we live in, and you know they're unstable, we must be sure we have entered the narrow gate and are traveling the narrow way. We must be sure that we are born again and that we are building a life on Jesus and his teachings. All heads bowed, all heads closed. I want to ask you three questions as our musicians come. Are you building on the rock or the sand? Will your life stand the test of God's judgment? Based on what we've learned in these last 4 weeks in chapter 7, verse 13 through 29, are you going to heaven or hell? You know that by the messages you heard here week after week for 4 weeks. And I ask you today, if you're going to hell, it could be different. You don't have to go there. But just praise God that you are going to heaven. Amen. So this altar is open for anybody that wants to come down and say, "Pastor, I'm building my life on the sand, and I'm not sure about these things. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to show me how to ask Christ into my life." Maybe you want to come down and go to the altar and pray for a loved one or a friend. When you nail it down, folks, this is all we see in the world. We see people who are building their lives on the rock and people that are building their lives on the sand. So, Father, I pray today that the Holy Spirit has his will in this service. His will be accomplished. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.